All right, so today we're going to look at the will of God. You should have figured that out by your handouts if you received those. The discovery of God's will and the doing of God's will. And I think you'll find this Bible study helpful and hope it'll be a blessing to you. So what about the will of God? What about God's will? Christians, they often ask the question about divine guidance. We all want God to tell us what's right and where to go, right? What to do. A young believer who wants to please the Lord will often ask, how am I supposed to know what the Lord wants me to do? Well, I don't know about you, but I struggled with this so much when I was a young Christian. I wanted to be right with God. I wanted to be doing what God wanted me to do. And so hopefully we'll be helped tonight by this study, helped to see the problem in perspective if we'll consider the will of God. But we got to do it in three aspects. Okay, so first of all, there's God's will, which is his sovereign responsibility. Okay, many things having great bearing on our life and our character are beyond the power of choice. For example, we couldn't choose our nationality, you know, the place of our birth. We could not choose our parents or have any say of things that are that vitally affecting us by way of heredity, and in many cases by way of influence. That is, the type of neighborhood that you were raised in, the kind of schools that you attended as a child, the type of food and diet that you had available to you that determined the constitution of your health, your strength, your physical makeup. A lot of other things are entirely outside of our control, but God is sovereign over all these things. The other two aspects of God's will, you can call them spiritually revealed and specially revealed. Spiritually revealed and specially revealed. As to both of these aspects, we have responsibility of action. Okay, we are considering the question, how am I to know what the Lord wants me to do? Okay. Now, it would be difficult to overemphasize the fact that there's a huge area in which there needs to be, or there need be no doubt as to what God's will is. God tells us what his will is, as to all the principles which should govern our life in this world. God has revealed his mind clearly in the Holy Scriptures. Even the requirements that we might have thought too obvious to mention, they're recorded in simple language in God's word. I'll give you a simple example here. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." Okay, so it's pretty clear, isn't it? This is God's will, that you do not steal. And it is stated clearly, it's stated plainly in the Word of God. And it's so clear that even a fool couldn't miss it. Detailed instructions revealing God's will are given in God's Word as to individual life, in relationship with fellow believers, life in relationship with fellow men, including those who are in authority. And these things are all laid out in the Bible for you and me to read and to believe. And is it God's will, for example, that I should be baptized? Well, what does the Bible say? You'll find it there. God's will is revealed in God's word. Is it God's will that I should enter a scripturally constituted local church? Okay. God's will is revealed in God's word. And I've given you references for these things in your notes there. How am I to know God's will? And I hope you're not looking for some grand, mysterious statement from me here today, but it's simply this. Read God's word. Read God's word prayerfully, read God's word submissively. That means you're going to accept what you find out in the Bible and be willing to do it submissively, okay? And read God's word systematically, okay? Not just when you feel like it, but pick a time that you're going to read God's word and stick to that plan. And for the most part, in the vast majority of cases, the answer is going to be clear and plain. Your question will be answered as to what is God's will. Does God want me saved, born again? Does God want me baptized? Does God want me in fellowship with the local church? Does God want me to be a witness? Does God want me to speak his word to others? Does God want me to give to his work and to support it financially? All of these questions are answered very clearly and very definitely in the pages of the Holy Bible. So again, to know the will of God in most cases, simply requires a believing Bible reading program, a life of searching the scriptures. And you're going to know more about God's will if you'll do that. Stick to that. Okay, now, much practical teaching is found in the book of Proverbs. And there we have wisdom from the Lord as to our walk in this world of wickedness. However, some matters are not governed by principles. You know, most of the time, God doesn't give you the details. He simply gives you the principle. And though the principles are all, they're all laid out in the Word of God, sometimes there are specific examples. For example, and this is just an example, is the Lord calling me to serve him as a missionary in Spain? Okay. Is this God's will for my life? Okay. Now, when a special revelation of God's will for you is required, how do you get it? How do you attain it? Well, there's no automatic process. It's not as simple as putting a coin in a vending machine and getting a candy bar, and then now I know God's will. No, but the following factors have bearing on this issue of knowing God's will. So we're going to consider these, and they're fourfold. Four things that we ought to consider in knowing the will of God regarding not a matter of principle, but of a specific matter of interest. Right? So first of all, turn in your Bible to John chapter 7, verse 17. John 7, verse 17. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking to his disciples about this matter of his will. All right. And the Bible says here, beginning at verse, let's start at verse 16. John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." All right. So first of all, if you have little or no desire to do God's will, why would you expect him to reveal his will to you? And on the other hand, if you're somebody who's intent on pleasing him, you want to do what he wants you to do, he will cause you to know his will. How God will do this, though, is of no consequence. Did you hear me? Let me say it again. How God will make known his will to you is of no consequence. You know, it doesn't matter. It may be different for one person or another. But what we have to do is search our hearts and see, am I willing? Is it my will to do God's will? If God were to show me today, okay, if God were to show you this day, let's just stick to that same example. If God were to show you this day, he wanted you to go to Spain as a missionary, would you do it? Because there's no sense in seeking the will of God. There's no sense in praying for God to make known his will to you if God knows you're not going to do it if he does reveal it to you. He's under no obligation, and chances are very great he's not going to lead you in the least. He's looking for willing hearts, a willingness to do. All right, then secondly, Luke chapter 16, and we'll read there verse number 10. Luke 16:10. Here the Bible says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Okay, so our willingness to do what is not known, our willingness to do what is not known, will be proved by our daily walking in that which is known. Okay, are we diligent in carrying out day by day God's will that we find as we're reading our Bible and it's revealed to us in His Holy Word in the Bible what His will is? Are we walking in that way, in His will there? Okay, if we are not being obedient to the light that we have, why should God grant us further light? Okay, and then thirdly, the Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. All right, so the third requirement, after a willingness to do, after walking in his will, the third requirement is waiting with patience. Okay, it is not for us to demand that God's will be made known to us within a certain time. The Lord often brings a spiritual benefit by causing us to wait for his answer. Now, the earnest, consistent waiting upon him and waiting for him will bear fruit in spiritual experience. Now, okay, so if as time goes on, a matter recedes from our prayers, you know, and it's not just due to human negligence, but it's simply because the Spirit of God takes a certain desire or leading away, then the indication is that whatever it was is not of the Lord. Okay, it's been taken away. And as time goes on, if a matter is impressed more and more upon us in our prayers, then the indication is that such is of the Lord. Okay, and you keep waiting in expectation. Okay, then what about these ways of revealing? And that's the fourth thing, ways of revealing. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 in our Bibles for this one, and we'll read this verse here for the answer. Acts chapter 16, verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Right, so God has many ways of revealing his will. The mature believer with long experience of walking with God has an ear for his voice. God communicates to the immature by ways not needed by the mature. The one who is willing, whether they're mature or immature, the one who's willing to do God's will, he shall know. Even we, as to the discernment of God's will, may experience this, he says, assuredly gathering. Okay, that was experienced by those here in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. Okay, you'll have an assurance in what you know God wants you to do. So the will of God is more, it's more bringing our heart in tune with God's desire than it is simply a matter of God giving us some kind of a grand revelation. Because with many of God's people, it's sad to say, if he did tell them just exactly what he wanted them to do, chances are very great they would not do it. So be willing to do the will of God. Be patient as you wait for God to make known his will. Be walking in his will, what you already know God wants you to do, as revealed in the scriptures. Be sure that you're doing it. And then allow God to speak to you in his way and in his time. All right, what about this matter of doing God's will? We talked about knowing God's will, and certainly right alongside that, we ought to talk about doing God's will. So what about the matter of doing God's will? You know, in actual practice, most Christians experience a good deal of failure in this matter of doing the will of God. If we can put our finger on the causes of this failure, I think it'll help us, no doubt, towards a correction for this situation. So let's take to heart the following three causes of failure in the lives of Christians to do the will of God. First of all, this is the big one, unbelief. First of all, unbelief. Do we really believe that God's will is best? Do we believe that if we are truly desirous of doing God's will, He will make known His will to us? In actual fact, what is most for God's glory is also going to be for our highest good. Okay? But do we believe that? We say that, you know, intellectually we know that, but do we really and truly believe that what God desires is what is best for me? You know, Satan deceived Eve into thinking that God, in forbidding the eating of the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, Satan deceived her into thinking that God was withholding from her something that was good. And so that first deceit in human history, that's been repeated by the devil over and over again ever since. The scripture says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's Psalm 84, verse 11. Now, do we believe that? Do we believe that, or do we believe the devil's lie? Unbelief has been called the mother of all sins. Of course, many sins spring from unbelief that are just different in their character and their manner, but what I'm saying is the root of all of those sins is unbelief. Shrinking in fear from doing God's will is caused by unbelief. Now, faith in God, real faith, the faith that says God has spoken, I believe what God said. This kind of faith ministers joy to God's heart. God likes that kind of faith in us. You know, the apostle said to the Lord in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Wouldn't that be a good prayer and good sentiment for each and every one of us to bring before our Father, which is in heaven? Spiritual growth with an accompanying increase in faith is going to come through prayer, the absorption of God's word, and obedience to His word. Prayer, the absorption of God's word, and obedience to God's word. These three things correspond to the three things vital to physical development. And I put this example in your notes there too. So, and mainly you'll see air, food, and exercise are those three physical things. So make the connection there. May we, by our prayers, breathe in the pure air of heaven. May we feed on God's word, and may we act in obedience to that word. All right, and then secondly, the second hindrance to doing the will of God is pride, jealousy, and ambition. Pride, jealousy, and ambition. Okay, they're similar. They go together. Okay, you know, these are the three evils of self-love. Self-love. The three evils of self-love. And how often they hinder a brother or a sister from doing God's will. What is the language of your heart? Do you say, well, that Christian work is too humble for me? You know, I'm at least as capable as that brother over there who's got a ministry that's much more important than this one you're asking me to do. This couldn't be the will of God for my life. This is such a little thing. This is such a trivial thing. Oh, God wants me to do something great for Him, I'm sure. And how often people fail to be doing the will of God in their life because they won't take the place that God has for them, and they won't take it because of their pride or their jealousy or their ambition. You know, a desire to be a preacher, that's a worthy desire, but a desire to be a great preacher, you better question that. You better take a real good, careful look at that. Or again, we may recognize that we don't have a gift for a prominent ministry, or what we would count as a prominent ministry. So since we can't be in the forefront, you know, out where everybody can see all that we're doing for God, we can't be in the limelight. Well, then if we can't do that, we just decide to do nothing. You know, in the Bible, the man who had one talent was the man who failed to use what was entrusted to him. In Matthew 25, let's go there. Matthew 25. It wasn't a question of how much he had. It was a question of what he did with what he had. Matthew 25, starting in verse 24, the Bible says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Right, so what was the problem with this guy? Verse number 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. The problem was not what he had. He said, well, I've only got one talent. If I had 10 like that fella, I might do something with those 10. But I only have one, so I'm not going to do anything because God hasn't given me very much. See, so many people fail to do the will of God because God's will for their life isn't what God's will was for somebody else's life. So they're just jealous, or they're proud, or their ambition is too great to do that little thing that God has for them to do. Listen to this quote here. No service in itself is small, none great, though earth it fill. But that is small that seeks its own, and great that seeks God's will. I would not have the restless will that hurries to and fro, that seeks for some great thing to do or secret thing to know. I would be humble as a child and guided where I go. And then a third reason why Christians fail to do the will of God is simply a lack of love for God, a lack of love for God. In Luke chapter 7, we have this story, and it centers around verse 41. So let's look at this. Luke 7, 41. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, by the way, this is a Pharisee named Simon. This is not Simon Peter. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Faith says, I will do God's word because I know that's what's best. But love goes farther than that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So love goes even farther, and it says, I will do God's will because I love him. And how much do we love him? You know, we're all 500 pence debtors, aren't we? We all owed a great sum, and we couldn't pay it. And we've all been forgiven much. And we really should love much. if the interests of Jesus Christ are seemingly different from our own interests, which course do we take? To choose our own way, that would impede spiritual progress and it would grieve the Holy Spirit of God. To prove God's way, to choose God's way, would not only be walking in the will of God, but it would also show that we love Him because He first loved us. So couldn't we all pray from the heart, Lord, help me to live the life You would have me to live. Help me to serve just like You would have me to serve. You know, Jesus said in John 14, verse 21, He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. It is a proof of our love to the Lord Jesus Christ when we do His will, not just know it, but do it and want to do it. Okay. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And oh, how wonderful it is to me, and I think it is to you, when you think that we can actually know God's will. To actually know what God Almighty would have us to do so that we're not just walking blindly through life, seeking our own way, living a life of terrible mistakes and difficulties and just always finding ourselves frustrated because we don't know what God would have us to do. Hey, what a wonderful blessing it is to know the sweet will of God, to be guided, to be directed through this life by one who knows the way. He has walked this way before. He's been down all these pathways that we're traveling. And how He can guide us, how He can help us and lead us through this life with all of its dangers, toils, snares, trials, and tribulations. What a great joy and a great blessing to have the Word of God to record just exactly what God would have us to do, to have the Holy Spirit of God to make that will known, to expound and make it clear and explain the Scriptures to us. And then what a blessing, what a great blessing to have the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with us as we live this pilgrim life, seeking by the grace of God to do the will of God. How wonderful it is to be saved and to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way and to be able to walk with Him and talk with Him through this pilgrim journey. Amen. I hope this has been a help to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You do want us to know Your will. Help us, Lord, to not only want to know Your will, but to be willing to do it, to have a heart that wants to please You, that would do what we discovered You wanted us to do. Lord, help us to not neglect our Bible reading, because we know that's where we're going to know what Your will is. And help us, Lord, not to just to do it randomly, but help us to get it to a daily practice where we are seeking Your will, loving Your word, and aiming to live by it, by whatever we find in there, that we may know You better and know Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.